I hope you're ready. You guys ready for a lot of the Bible today?
Yes.
Be excited, just pretend. Yeah, Word of God. What else are we talking about? You don't need a special word from the Pastor Joel, aka Holy. I'm not the Holy Spirit, okay? We need a fresh word from the Holy Spirit. And I love the chapter that we're going to be. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 3, but it's going to be a little bit till we get there because there's not that many verses to talk about. But man, this is such an important topic that I can't think of a more vital topic to talk about to believers, okay? Some of this I wouldn't talk to, maybe you're not an atheist, I don't think any atheists here, but if you're watching and trying to make fun of Pastor Joel online and you're an atheist, this is not for you. This is for believers who have been Christians a long time, and I've been a Christian a long time, but sometimes I'm going, I need to get a dose of the Spirit of God, and He needs to help me grow. I need to be more mature in the faith. I need to be maturing. I asked the question last week, which was kind of an interesting response. I said, how many of us would consider ourselves mature believers? I don't think I had one person raise their hand because they thought it was a trick question. Like, how do you know if you're mature? Then I asked the question, it kind of just popped in my head as I'm asking that. How many of us are maturing believers? Remember that? And everybody went, which you should be. Okay, but then there's a third group of people, if you're a Christian, is how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, this is a no shame zone, okay? There should be no shame. How many of us would say you are a Christian who is a little immature? Okay, if you can learn anything from 1 Corinthians, there's a few things you can learn. One of the things that they struggled with was they had a group of people who were Christians who, according to Paul, and if you're reading it, they're fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It says brothers and sisters. The Greek says brothers, but some translations say brother. He's talking to the church. So he's not talking to outsiders today, even though when you read it, you're thinking, these people sound like they're outsiders. Because they've been Christians for a while now, and by the time he's writing this letter, they've been a Christian for a few years, and they're very, he called them worldly. He called them that they live by the flesh. They don't live by the Spirit. And on Pentecost Sunday, I think it's very appropriate that we would mention that there's a group of people in Corinth who refused to live by the Spirit, but they lived by the flesh. They actually lived in a way that was not honoring to God, but yet at the same time, Paul called them brothers. In our modern translations, brothers and sisters, nothing wrong with that because he's talking to the church, okay? So he's talking to a group of people who call themselves Christians. I would even say that they're going to heaven, but at the same time, there's something that needs to be done. So when I think about the church that I want to be part of, I think about a phrase that I've been told a lot in my Christian walk with God since day one, that the church should be a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints where everybody's, you know, taking their halo and kind of shining it, making it really shiny. Okay, I don't know if you ever heard that phrase, but I don't know where it came from. If I look online, there's 50 different originators with that phrase. I have no idea who it was. I like to think it was C.S. Lewis, but I don't think so. But, you know, the church should be a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints, where we're just kind of like, look at how good I'm doing. No, we should be a place where broken people come in, people who are not, don't have it all together, people like the Corinthian church who had very major issues. We've seen major issues already. We haven't even got to the horrible stuff yet, okay? The stuff that you would be embarrassed to be part of in the church. You'd be like, that is not a church I want to be part of. And I would say that I want my goal, God's goal is for us to get to a place where we're maturing and growing believers, that we become, and I don't want to, I've tried to think of a phrase, I try to think of an image that you can have in your mind, that we are growing so much that we become like this spiritual doctor in a sense. We're not Jesus. Jesus is that great physician. But we are like, we're broken people come in and we don't throw the knife at them. Fix yourself. Or go outside and go fix yourself, then come in here, and then you'll be fine to come in here. No, you come in here, and as I'm maturing, and as you're maturing, our role is to love people who are broken. They come in here, their kids are a mess, they're on drugs, they're coming here drunk, or they're coming here hungover, and you go, how? You know, the spirit of religion would say, how dare them? soil are clean, not clean carpet, because there's some coffee stain that someone spilled years ago, me. But where, like, instead of that, we're these spiritual surgeons where we say, we come on in and we love you. We're going to help you along. We're going to help you as we mature in Christ. And as we grow in Christ, we're going to help you grow. It's not just a pastor's job to help people grow. All of us are, we're disciples who are making other disciples. And that means I'm going to help my brother. He's going to help me. And especially the people that come in here at some point where the Holy Spirit draws them, they come in here hurting and broken. My desire is that we see a bunch of people here that don't know the rules. And that would mean that it would make us a little uncomfortable. Because how many of us know, when in the church we get a little comfortable when things like that don't happen for a while. We've had, over the years, we've had a few moments where people don't know the rules. You know, people yelling and cuss word, and I'm like, you know, that's a bleeping good point, Pastor. I'm like, whoa, he reminded me of that. I'm like, the guy did not know the rule. And we get so comfortable, we go, well, what do we do with that? We're a hospital for sinners. That's what Jesus wants. And so as we're growing, as we're maturing, that's the kind of church that we want. But what I want to do is, as we're growing, what we're growing is, we're growing in identifying Jesus as Lord. And we're growing in that knowledge of his lordship. What does it mean to be a Lord? He's in control. He's on the throne. How many of us, don't raise your hand, you would be honest that you're a Christian who you still reign and rule in your life. Your way goes, my way or the highway, brother. My way or the highway. You know, Jesus, can you, and I was practicing this to Lydia the other day, and I can't get out of my mind that I feel like, I've always said this, that when I am not a mature believer, if I'm still on the throne, I feel like God is like my little pet dog that's walking behind me. I have a dog, his name's Pork Chop. And Pork Chop does what Pork Chop does, but he's very, I go, Pork Chop, you're not being a good boy. You go in your kennel and just lay down and don't be naughty. But when I want him to, hey, he's pretty, let's go play ball, I take him out of the cage. He doesn't stay in the cage. There's no door on it. But we take him out. We put him on a leash. When I'm done with Pork Chop, I put him back inside. But it's like what we do with God. If he's not on the throne, we say, come here, Holy Spirit. Come on with me. Here, let's walk Jesus. Oh, he's so cute. Here, okay, go ahead. Let's play ball. Ready? Go fetch. Now bring me that right there. Give me that. And then we're like, okay, I'm done with Jesus. Okay, go bye. Bye-bye. See, that's what the difference between Jesus being Lord and he's my little pet dog that's following me around. And I take him out when it's convenient for me. I take the dog out when I want him to. I set the rules. See, Pork Chop, I would like to think that he sets the rules, because when he has to go potty, he comes up to me with his sad eyes, or he comes up with one of us with sad eyes, and I know when he needs to go out. But do you think I listen to that every single time? He would always look at me with that, okay? But the difference between that is the Holy Spirit, who is filling us up to overflowing. He's maturing us. It makes us realize that Jesus needs to be on the throne. What I want to do is, I've seen these two pictures. There's two separate pictures here, and it may be a little bit small writing here. But the first one on the top is the self-directed life. This is someone that's not growing in Christ. They would consider themselves a Christian. That circle that's around it, that means they're a Christian. See the cross that's right there sitting? The chair represents a throne. That's a pretty bad throne, but I mean, let's just say it's a throne. Better than a toilet. We could use the toilet as an illustration of throne. But the throne is, it means control of my life. In the very first one, there's an S, and that means self. That means that a person that said yes to Jesus, they may have ran up to the altar. They may have raised their hand and went, yes, I want to be a Christian. But they refused to give Jesus control. They refused to give Jesus the throne. They haven't dethroned themselves and said, Lord, this throne is yours. What that means is, we fill our lives, these little dots that are in there, they're green. These are interests and things that we do. It's actually, they result in what we want, what we desire, and we say, Lord, I'll do this, I'll do that, just please bless that. Please bless that. We say yes to certain things, we say no to certain things. We haven't, these people have not asked Jesus once what they want their life to be filled with and filled of. Like, is Jesus saying yes to this? He's telling us to say no to that. What's he doing? But the growing believer, the maturing believer, someone that is not just on, he'll, Paul will talk about spiritual milk. We've gone away from the bottle. We got rid of the binky, you know, the pacifier. We've thrown that away, and we ourselves are maturing. That's a person that has dethroned themselves. Jesus is on the throne. The self is yielding to Christ. He gets priority. His way is the way, not my way. It's his way. And the thing I've learned over the years, when I feel like, Lord, why don't I ever get my way? Like, what's in this whole thing for me? It's kind of like the quote from Field of Dreams. I don't know if you've ever seen Field of Dreams. I love that movie, but the one thing at the very end that Kevin Costner says, he's like, the one guy says, well, what are you saying, Ray? And he goes, I'm saying, what's in it for me? Like, that's sometimes what I say in my life with God. What's in it for me? But then I realize that his way, which is infinitely superior to mine, actually fills my life with joy, hope, peace, confidence. If everything was my way, guess what? I wouldn't always be filled with that stuff. I'd be filled with disaster. I'd be filled with horrible things. Why? Because my way isn't always the best for me, even though I think it is. God's way is the best way, and that means when you're Christ-directed life, you are a growing believer, you're maturing. That means that there's interest that you are a part of that Jesus said, yes. Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? Do I need to fill my life with that? No? Okay, I'm not going to be involved. I'm going to say no. How many of you guys know that the word no can be a very spiritual word? Okay? Because people fill their lives with stuff that Jesus is saying no to, and people say yes to things that Jesus said. You have no reason to be filled your life with that, because that life is sucking you dry. That part of your life is making you a miserable person. You're angry, you're bitter, you're tired, you're cranky, and it's like, Lord, what do I fill my life with? And as Lord of my life, he will share with me what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, what we need to fill lives with. That's what it means to be a growing believer. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to get there in a little bit, but it's going to bring up the church. The very people that go to church in Corinth are people who are very carnal. They're very worldly. They don't seem to be growing. Paul says, I've talked to you, I've met with you before, and it seems like you're still not maturing. Like, this is his second time writing to him, even though it says 1 Corinthians. Okay? He said, I have met with you. I couldn't speak to you like you were spiritual, holy, growing, maturing believers. I had to speak to you like you didn't even know Jesus. And now I come back, I write to you again, and it seems like I'm doing the same thing. I have to talk to you like you're babies. Okay, Hayden is going to be 18 years. He's going to be 18 years old in September. He's going to be grown up. Pray for me. Pray for him. 18 years old? That's scary. You know what that means? He's a grown up. If Hayden was 18 years old in September and he still had a pacifier, had a little blankie that he used to put in his mouth, he used to suck on that the edge, and that was making quiet. That was like his, he didn't have a binky. That was his binky. If he still crawled around in diapers and he wanted baby food, he's like, wah, 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 and he came up here whining and crawling, how many of us would think he's got issues? Yes. We don't have a problem thinking about that with a grown-up. If there's a grown-up that's acting like a baby, there's issues in there, guys. Is right here. It's in his mind. And if he looked like a two-year-old at 18, you'd have to take him to a doctor, right? How many of us would disagree with that? No, we would. He's an 18-year-old that's got a two-year-old body and a two-year-old mind. I'm going to get him checked out. I should have done it years ago, I would say. But the reality is, when it comes to the church, if you've been a Christian for a long time and you're living the exact same year over, you're a baby Christian for a year, I'll give each of us, I don't know how long it takes to grow in Christ, to go from being an infant believer to a mature believer. I don't know. It takes a lifetime. But if we're still living that day one, some of us are 40-year-old believers, but we're still 1 year old in the faith. We've just had the same year over and over and over and over. Okay? And I've been there, done that. Okay? And if that's possible, which the Corinthian church would say, yes, it's possible, we got problems. There should be some growth. Now, we want to talk, we're going to talk about that, but we want to always say grace. People, we're still human. And these people are carnal, and yet, these people in the Corinthian church, and yet Paul still calls them brothers. So the first thing I noticed when he says brother and sisters, that was the first thing that popped in my head was, wow, he didn't call them outsiders. He didn't say, oh, they've left the faith. He didn't say that. There's another group of people that John talked about in 1 John that they were very worldly and they were never believers. Okay, they left their churches and they never actually, these people, they truly did believe in God, but for some reason, they never grew. They were still in diapers. They were still with their pacifier. They were still, you know, chewing on their blankie. You know, that's all they, and they, oh, pastor, preach me a message and just pat me on the head and give me a cookie. That makes me feel good. That's not what it means to be a mature believer. In fact, if you want to bless life, how many of us want to bless life? That's not a trick question. Yes, I do. Because I was like, does that mean I'm carnal if I want to bless life? No, it means you're awesome. I want a blessed life. If you want, that means you have to put Jesus in the right place. What does that mean? He's Lord. He is on the throne. You've dethroned yourself, and it's all about Jesus. Are you yielding yourself, your life, your agenda? Are you yielding it to Christ? Are you yielding it to His agenda? Does His agenda reign supreme over your life? Luke 2:11. Yeah, I'm going to read a Christmas verse. Almost summertime, and I'm reading the Christmas verse, but watch. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Everybody say Savior. So He's saving you from something, yes. But these verses we're going to talk about, it's always paired with Savior and Lord. There's two different things that Jesus definitely wants to be. He wants to be your Savior, and He wants to be your Lord. Okay, Savior is very elementary. It's very baby, like, I want to be saved. I did too. When I was first a Christian, you know why I gave my life to Christ? Because I didn't want to go to hell. Anybody have that same story? I didn't want to go to hell. That is a decent way to become a Christian, but it's a very elementary belief. So instead of that, as I mature, I'm going, okay, now that I'm saved, now what? And being more mature says, no, a Savior has been born to you. Yes, He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Everybody say Lord. No longer is He just your Savior. He's saving you from hell to go to heaven. He is your Lord. What He says goes. He's not a little puppy in a leash going, come on, Jesus, let's go. Okay, go run. Okay, I'm done with you, Jesus. Let's put Him back right there. I'm done. Okay, I'm good. Come on. Hey, Jesus, want a treat? That's what helps with pork chop. I gave Him a little treat that helps Him to come into the house. I got Him these little treats that taste like peanut butter. He loves those. You can see Him drooling. He doesn't even taste it. He just go. Because they're little tiny little things. I'd be the same way. So Luke 2:11, that is the, Jesus is just born, and what is He? He's Lord, as the Christmas song says. He's Lord from birth, okay? I would say He's Lord from before that, but at least when he's a baby, He's newborn, and He's Lord Jesus. Jesus, who's a baby at that time, deserves all praise. So He deserves all praise right now. The next one, I love this. Because I've heard it said, Jesus is either Lord of all or He's Lord not at all. That's another quote. I cannot figure out who the author of that, because there's 20 different authors from that quote. Jesus is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Lord, I'll give you 90% of my life. That means He's not Lord. If you're from a different country that has a king, you can't say King whatever, King Billy Bob. I don't know if that was supposed to be funny, but I don't know. King Billy Bob, how can you take the guy serious? But King Billy Bob, I'm only going to give you 50% of my attention and my, I'm just going to, then he would be like, no, that's not enough. You give me, if he's your Lord and your King, all. 2 Peter 1:11, I love this. Then, talking about eternity, then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our what? Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every verse that we're talking about, it's going to be talking about the fact that Jesus wants to be, he's demanding His right place in your life. He can't just be your Savior, He must also be your Lord. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter must know something about lordship. 2 Peter 3:18, rather, You must grow. I love that. You must mature. You must go the right place. You must go forward. You must step ahead. You must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to dethroning yourself off your throne of your life and putting Jesus, Galatians 2:20 says, it doesn't say dethrone, but it's even worse than that. If you think dethroning your life is harsh, if you take Joel off of the throne, here, Jesus, you may have the throne of my life. It's no longer King Joel in Bremerland. No more. Jesus, your Lord. Galatians 2:20, it's really harsh, but it's a great verse. My old self, everybody say old self. You should have two versions of you. You should have an old self and a current self. How many of you guys have an old self? How many of you guys have a current self? You're growing. My old self has been what? Crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You can't allow Jesus just to say, Jesus, just bless that part of my life. I'm going to do this, but would you just bless it? Without actually talking to him and asking him, is this something you want my life to be about? You can't do it, because why? It's no longer I who's king, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I live, if I live, so far I'm dead, and I'm alive. How can you be dead? My old self is dead. My new self, I'm a new creation in Christ. That I live in this earthly body, why? How? By trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's, if I'm going to continue to live, I'm going to live by trusting in Jesus and making him my Lord. So I'm no longer the throne of my life. I'm not on the throne. Even though when I was a younger Christian, all I wanted was to do things that made me satisfied. It made me do what, and I just wanted God to bless that. Anybody else do that? If you're human, that would be a yes. I just want God to bless what I'm doing. Hopefully he'll bless me. I'm going to do this anyway. Hopefully he'll bless it. That's an immature belief. If you're a maturing believer, you're going to say, no, it's no longer I who live. There's a shift with a maturing believer. There's a shift. At some point, you will say, I cannot call myself a Christ follower if I'm on the throne. Okay, that's why I have a hard time, someone say, are you a Christian? I have a hard time saying, yes, I'm a Christian. Not because, technically, I'm a Christian, right? But I have a hard time believing that and saying that, because a Christ follower, in its word itself, I'm a Christ follower, not a Christ is following me. A Christ follower is someone that has dethroned themselves off the throne, put Jesus as Lord, he's master, he's king, and I'm growing in Christ, and I'm making about that. When I can say that and there's a shift in my thinking, I'm a maturing believer. Now, I may slip up a little time. How many guys, especially if you've ever been married or you've ever been dating someone, maybe when you were younger, you dated someone. How many of you guys have ever, you saw one, your spouse, or maybe you yourself, you're a little older now, but you have times where you're a little bit, that was a little immature. Lydia's never called me immature, not once. There have been times where I've done immature things. Boy, you're acting like you did when we were in college. Like, hey, why are you acting like that again? I thought you, I'm like, hey, guess what? I'm not perfect. I'm maturing. Not 100% mature. Because if I say I'm mature, I've arrived. Listen, I've never arrived. How many of us have arrived? I don't know when you get there, let me know where it's at. Okay? Billy Graham, who went to be with the Lord, but he would say when he's older that I'm still learning about the Lord. And I don't know why everybody puts Billy Graham on a pedestal, like he's like a perfect man, you know? But he always, I want to be like Billy Graham someday. I mean, I would too, but he said himself, I'm still learning about Jesus. Like, well, then I got problems then, right? If you got issues, what do you think about me? I can't call myself a Christ follower if Jesus is not on the throne. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions about these Corinthian believers. As we've been reading this for a few weeks, my question is, these Corinthian believers, are they Christians? when you're reading this, are they Christians? My quick answer, I was trying to answer this as I'm doing this. Yes, I believe they're Christians. Why? Because he calls them brothers and sisters. Okay? The way that he talks them afterwards, a little like, oh, man. But these people have issues. Did they lose their salvation at that moment? No. Okay, we can wrestle over the fact if you say yes to Christ and there's once saved, always saved. We're not going to wrestle with that today. Okay? But did they lose their salvation? He called them brothers and sisters. Okay, is Jesus their Savior but not their Lord? That is where the problem that they had right there, in my opinion. I would say yes, they put Jesus as their Savior, but they refused to give him Lordship. And that was the problem they had. They refused to put Jesus as number one. When you have Jesus as number one, when Jesus shows up in your life powerful, you can't deny what he's done in you, and you can't say, oh, man, Jesus, you've done some amazing things. Here, just have second place. The reason why I said yes to Jesus in the first place, I said this last week, I've said it multiple times, I didn't want to become a Christian. I didn't want to become a pastor. I didn't want to do it. The reason why I did was because of what Jesus did. I couldn't deny it. But the question that's really I've been wrestling with, is it possible for a Christian to live a life without any change or transformation? Again, I go back to Hayden being 18 years old. If he wasn't maturing and he didn't act like an adult when he turned 18, if he acted like a two-year-old, would he have problems? He'd still be my son. But there would be no denial that I would have to get him checked. We know that. If you're an 18 or a 40 or a 50, 60, 70-year-old person that's still acting like a two-year-old, you have issues. I'm sorry. You do. If you still have a pacifier, we called it Binky when Hayden was little. He refused to put the Binky in his mouth, so he had a blanket, right? Is it possible for a Christian? I guess technically, but if you want to be a maturing believer, if you want to be a Christ follower, my answer is no. There has to be, at some point, there has to be evidence of some life change. I've noticed Hayden over the last, when he turned about 15 or 16 or 17, he's grown. He's matured. Right? He has. He's taller than me. In a couple years, he'll have more facial hair than me. I have a problem growing facial hair. That's fine. But he didn't really have to try hard. As he's going through life and going through school and doing this and doing that, he's growing as a person. Okay? That's natural. It's supposed to happen. As a Christian or a Christ follower, if I want to live my life for Christ, is it possible that if I'm living my life for Christ, I'm never going to be transformed or changed? My answer is no. We're supposed to change. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to mature. That's part of healthy life. That's part of healthy church. That's what it means. Actually, there's a group of people in 1 John that they went to church and they weren't Christians. They were Christian in name only. In fact, look at really quick on the screen, 1 John 2:19. These people, there's a group of people that John said they left our churches. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. In other words, these people were Christian in name only. They never grew. They never matured. They never stayed. They just went, things aren't going my way. I'm just going to leave. And John is saying these people, when they left, they proved that they were not really who they said they were. So my question isn't, can you be a Christian and not grow? That's not my question. My question is really, is right this second, not yesterday, not 2 minutes ago, right now, are you willing to say yes to Jesus' Lordship? And are you willing to say, yes, I want to be a maturing believer? Because that's my point today, is that you don't have to be, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about making that, if you're just a baby, still a baby Christian, 40-year-old baby Christian, I'm saying take one step forward today. One, if you want to do a marathon, what do you have to do to make a marathon work? You take one step forward. I can't take a marathon step from this mile to an 18-mile in one jump. I would get hurt. I would do the splits and hurt myself. Okay? I have to take one step at a time. So that's my question. just because we go to church doesn't mean that we're maturing. Okay? These people left and they weren't even mature. They had no, John would say they're not even Christian. Now, 1 Corinthians 3. This is where I say ouch to the believers. These, again, they're believers. I want you to read it with that context in mind. They are Christians. Okay, they're church people. Okay, they haven't left the churches like in John, 1 John. He says, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters. Everybody say brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. So you would consider yourself brothers and sisters if you're in Christ. You're a brother and sister of Christ. When I was with you, he's talking about an earlier trip. When I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. Pause right there for a minute. For once, I'm reading this and going, ouch. Paul, who talked to these Christian people who realized, I can't talk to you like you're Christians. I have to talk to you like you're worldly. Okay, the word here, when it comes to I talk to you as though you belong to the world, the word there is flesh. You're fleshly. You live by the flesh. And since this is Pentecost Sunday, they refused to live by the Spirit. They refused to let the Spirit in to change them. They were very fleshly. How many of you guys know what it means to live by the flesh? You ever live by the flesh? That means you're doing stuff that fleshly people do. You sin, and I sin like fleshly people do, like non-Christians do, even though we're part of the church. He says, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And he goes, and here I am back with you, and you still aren't ready. You are still, here we go, watch. This is a dangerous part, in my opinion, to this entire thing. He, again, grace of God. When you stumble and you fall and you backpedal, Jesus will be there to pick you up and clean you off, okay? You can't read the Bible without knowing that. But at the same time, that cannot be an excuse to not grow in Christ. Because this is where it's very dangerous. Imagine if we had a church full of people like this. He says, and you still aren't ready. You're still controlled by your sinful nature. What's in control? Is the Spirit in control of the church in your life, or is your sinful nature still in control? What did Paul say in Galatians that we read? Your old self is what? Crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. So how in the world can someone claim to be a Christ follower if they're still controlled by their sinful nature? Now, I always say all the time, but that old past starts creeping out of that grave once in a while, right? It's a zombie coming out of the grave. And instead of going, it's a little finger that comes out of the grave, a little hand that comes out. You go, get out, you get down there, you're dead. We go, oh, okay, here, let me give you a hand up. And I miss that old Joel. Nobody else misses that old Joel, but I do. Because, man, I had fun. You're right. But see, this church is very, I pause right there, and I'm like, because I'm in the middle of a verse here, 3a. You still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. This is a church full of carnal, sinful, horrific people. He's going to be very specific in a couple chapters later. They're going to talk about sex in a couple chapters. Very, 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 I would say humbling, but it's just when you read it, you go, wow, this is happening in the church? This is why we're dealing with this, because I have met people who I looked up to and they had I won't call it a fall from grace, but they totally gave in to their temptations 100% and they're no longer Christ followers. And I'm trying, myself too, I'm trying to, let's dive into this book before it's too late, because we live in the culture that is just pulling at us from all sides. The problem with the culture, especially the younger people, is all sorts of different temptations that we've had temptations when we were younger too, don't get me wrong, but they're pulled from 50,000 different directions. And are we going to just give in, Are we going to refuse and say, no, I'm no longer controlled by my sinful nature? And when that does creep back up, Holy Spirit, kill that old self again. It has no right to be in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what he says. In this church, you still are controlled by your sinful nature. Paul is saying, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Yet you don't live for the kingdom of God. You live for the kingdom of world. See, let me ask you this. I thought about this the other day. If I had a baby up in my arm and they started doing baby things, crying, pulling my hair, biting, maybe. I don't like biting babies, but sometimes a baby will bite. Anybody ever been bit by a baby? You're like, ow, ow. You know, boom. I mean, I'm not trying to joke with that, but it's like, you don't do that. See, the baby came up here. I was holding this baby, and they made a mess in their diaper, and they spit up all over me. And he started going, bah, bah, bah. They started babbling, and they started like screaming, screeching, crawling all over. Would we get really mad that babies are doing baby things? No, babies can't do calculus. I can't either. I got a D in calculus, so that's my experience from calculus. Babies can't sing in an opera. Babies do baby things, right? Babies have pacifiers, they have blankies, they want to watch a cartoon on TV, they want to babble, they want to scream because they're hungry. They scream, that's how they talk. They haven't learned to control themselves yet. They mess their diaper up, even though that was not my favorite thing when Hayden was 13. No, when he was like one. It's like, oh, Lid, I need to go somewhere. You need to take care of Hayden. I'm out of here. But babies do baby things. Babies can't do dishes. Babies can't do laundry. Babies can't cook dinner. Babies can't do that because babies, they're babies. They do baby things. Babies act like babies. But let me ask you this. Is it a sin to act like a baby as an adult, Christian? In the kingdom of God. Here's a picture I saw. It's a true story. There's a guy who lives like a baby. Isn't that sick? Like, listen, I'm trying to be nice to the guy, but he's got mental problems. He needs help. I don't look at that and say, oh, that's so... He's so cute. How many of you think he's cute? I want to hang out with that guy. No, he's got problems, okay? He's not beyond help, but he needs help. But as Christians, I'm going to put down the screen for just a little bit longer to bug you because it's weird. But grown-ups don't do grown-up things. They don't do baby. They should not do baby things. Grown-up should do grown-up things. People who are mature should do mature people things, not be babies. Like if I want to go, Lydia, and I say, when you go to the store later, can you get me one of those little cans of those mashed bananas? Because those were good. They were. But if I'm sitting there eating mashed bananas and we don't have a baby in the house, there's a problem. Because I would feed Hayden. I'd be like, you did it too when you guys have a baby. Come on, you had a little, unless it was strained peas or something. I was like, ugh. Get the good stuff. You know what I mean? But this is a lot of times this image I want you to think in a more serious matter. This is serious. I'm sorry, it's very serious. Okay? But in a more serious matter, Paul's saying this is what they're acting like in church. Like, instead of going, oh, it's okay, go, okay, you are my brother in Christ, you are my sister in Christ, but we need to address this. That's why he's bringing it up. That's why Paul's not ignoring it. He's saying, I need you to man up, I need you to woman up, and I need you to be a man of God, I need you to be a woman of God, I need you to grow up. So what's Paul saying as a Christian? No more diapers, no more whining, no more pacifiers, no more demanding my own way. Now it's the way of the Lord. That's it, 100%. Whatever God wants, he gets. That's what it means to be a mature person. We make it about other people, not us. We make it about God. What does it mean to be immature? At its core, immaturity is all about me, 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 me. I apologize, but Hayden, when you were little, it was all about you. And that's why I say a dog is a great animal, but a dog is like a forever toddler that won't get out of it. And trust me, Porkchop is man's best friend. He is a he's a cute dog, but when he wants his way, he'll get it. So as Christians, we mature, we grow in Christ. That means that it's no longer about us. So my question is, where, and you can thank me for putting that picture off of the screen, where has God matured you? Identify some things where you can celebrate. You can celebrate and say, I have matured in this area, right? Like one of the things I've matured in my life with God over the years, I've always liked worship music. I've always liked to worship. I've just enjoyed it. It's fun. But one thing I've matured in is worshiping when I'm not at the church building, when it's just me. I love it. I used to think, what? People are going to think I'm ridiculously crazy if they walk in the house and I'm worshiping, or they don't know I'm worshiping, I'm singing. I feel like I've matured in that area because I enjoy it and I know God enjoys it. So that's an area, but what areas are you immature? Maybe that would be a more important question. Instead of ignoring this idea, just be honest. Say, Lord, I'm immature in this area. And then not only that, but three, when do you expect to mature in that area? What day? I mean, are you giving yourself 20 years? Or if you're saying, you know what, I've got some things to grow in, and today is the day I'm going to start. Because if you say it that way and you mean it, that's a very mature thought. You know what, Lord? I need to grow up. I'm going to start right now with one little step. You know, Lord, I haven't really read the Bible in 10 years. I'm going to read one verse today. Awesome! One verse? Some of us, oh, well, it's just one verse. Does God really care? You know what? God would be very proud of you. If you haven't read the Bible in 10 years yourself and you read one verse, it'd be an awesome thing. It would be awesome. What areas am I immature? The last couple verses and we'll be done. Verse 3b. Here's some very specific things. He brought in the last couple chapters, them very much struggling. You are jealous of one another and you quarrel with one another. Everybody been in a part of a church fight? Have you ever fought with another Christian? It started right there. They started arguing. They're fighting. They were jealous over people's spiritual gift. That person's more spiritual than because they are more out in the public. And my spiritual gift is kind of private. Nobody knows. And they get very jealous. He says, doesn't that prove the fact that you're fighting? Doesn't it prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world when one of you says, I am the follower of Paul? He's mentioned something he's mentioned before. And another one of you says, I follow Apollos. Now the leader in the church. Aren't you just acting just like the people of the world? See, the church that's fighting is an immature church. Now, this is not the only reason that they're immature. This is one example. That they're actually fighting with one another, bitter against one another. Verse 5, this is the end of it. After all, who is Apollos? Who's Pastor Joel? Who's the worship team? Who are they? Aren't we only God's servants through whom you believe the good news? I love this. This is very cool. Each one of us did the work that the Lord gave us. The Lord has a work, and this is a very mature belief. God gives you a work, and you got to be planted in that work, and that's your work. That's what God's calling you to do. Sometimes people bring to you, this is my idea, boom. And you say, that's an awesome idea, go for it. That's not my idea. That's not the dream that God has given me, but go for it. I'll support you. I'll be your coach. I'll be your cheerleader, whatever. I'll go. Yes. But it says, each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. I thought about this very specifically. It doesn't matter who gets the credit for people who are leading people to the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I try to influence someone and I'm like, yes, I want to lead in the Lord. I never did. And then some other pastor comes along and the moment they meet that pastor, they become a Christian. And I'll be honest. Can I be honest? If you're online, just ignore me for just a minute. Pretend I'm perfect. I go, hey, I've been trying for years. What in the world? How come they get the credit? How come that church? Wow, that church can go, ding, they got one more person in their church. I thought, you know, that's a very immature belief. Who cares who gets the credit? Who cares? I don't want the glory anyway. Who gets the credit? God. I planted a seed. Someone just so happened to water at the right time. But I planted the seed. I did my part. They did their part. But you know what? It was God who made it grow. If you want to grow in Christ, if you want to mature, here it is. If you want to mature in Jesus, this is so obvious. It's not you that matures yourself. That's good news. You can't mature. If I want to be a mature husband, guess what I need? I need help. I can't do it by myself. I need the Lord's help. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me up to become that better father, better husband, better pastor, better employee, better everything. If I want to be a better Christ follower, I need his help. Why? Because it's God who makes it grow. The last couple verses. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants, the one who waters, they work together with the same purpose, even if they go to a different church. I'm trying to mature. See, I'm maturing. I used to get really upset. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Man, I can't get into what that really means for you guys right now. That's a lot. You are God's field. That means you're being planted. You're growing. You're God's building. I love that. You're God's church. So as we close, who is the author of your growth? It's God. If you're not maturing right now, the best thing you could do right now is to identify that and say, Lord, this area of my life, I need to mature. Would you help me mature? And guess what the good news is? He will mature you because he wants you to grow. It is natural to grow. If you're not growing physically and relationally and financially, then there's something. And I'm not talking about more money. I'm just making better decisions financially. If I'm not growing in those areas, there's issues. The best thing I can do right now is say, Lord, help me. Father, help us to grow. Help us to be maturing believers who take this very serious. God, I give you my heart. I give you my life. And Lord, you are calling all of us to be in the work that you've called us to do. But we first have to put you as Lord of my life. And we do that right now. We say yes to your lordship. We are under your authority, God. We are under your authority. What you say goes. We want to live for you with everything, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Huh? Yes, of course. Whoa. You should have done that before I started preaching.